Money FM 89.3, best of prime time.
This is Prime Time on Money FM 89.3. I'm Rachel Kelly, and every week our colleagues from the Straits Times talk us through the biggest headline coming out of Singapore for the week. Now, the multi-ministry task force tackling COVID-19 earlier this week reduced the cap on employees in the workplace to 50% of those who are able to work from home from May 8th to May 30th. That's down from the current 75%. This announcement was in light of the evolving COVID-19 situation at Tan Tock Seng Hospital, which is Singapore's 10th and largest active cluster. As such, Singapore is gearing up for temporary disruptions to reopening plans. To find out more, we speak to Yuan Sin, journalist at The Straits Times. Welcome back.
Hi, Rachel. Hi.
So, Yuan Sin, perhaps you can give us more context as to the impetus for this move.
Yeah, sure. I think as you might have read from the news over the past few weeks, right, community cases have really spiked, you know, at an unprecedented rate, you know, compared to the last few months. So we've seen more than 60 community cases in the past week. So that is a lot more than, I guess, like maybe less than 10 over the past few months. And we also know that the workplace is quite a huge risk factor for COVID-19 transmission, right? Given that you could have 3/4 of the workforce in the office at any one time. And I think already there have been a few workplace clusters, or rather COVID-19 clusters, where there has been transmission between colleagues. I think that would include an NUS senior research fellow, for instance. So this would really show that there is a need to kind of like dial down on COVID-19, dial down on workplace contact to reduce the risk of COVID-19 transmitting in the office. Yeah.
Right. So perhaps you can then tell us, how have workplace guidelines evolved since, you know, the circuit breaker period last year?
I think as we all can vaguely remember, we've been working from home for quite a long time, right? So I think since the circuit breaker in April, all the way up to September, most people were working from home, and during the circuit breaker, working from home was mandatory for most sectors. So rules only started to relax in September 28th, where more employees were allowed to return to the office, but they have to work from home for at least half of their working hours. And subsequently, the most significant loosening of the restrictions was on April 5th, just last month, actually, where up to 3/4 of staff can return to the workplace at any one time, right? So, and working from home was no longer the default. But I think within 1 month, because of the spike in community cases, the authorities had to suddenly dial back on the guidelines, right? So on April 30th, I think that's last Friday, employers were urged to allow their staff to work from home as far as possible. And just earlier this week, we were told that not more than half of workers who can telecommute should return to the workplace at any one time.
Now, Yuan Sin, you mentioned tracking the number of community cases, and I'm sure many businesses have been doing so in the run-up to these announcements. So how have businesses been preparing? Perhaps you can provide us with some examples.
Yeah, so I think quite a few firms has also been taking extra precautions by telling their workers to let them know if they've been exposed to some of the COVID-19 clusters. For instance, if they've been to Tan Tock Seng Hospital or if they've gone to the inpatient wards, they'll need to declare that, and maybe they'll tell them to stay at home for the time being. For banks like UOB, for instance, they've been having more safe management officers doing more checks to make sure that everyone's complying with measures such as wearing of masks. And for DBS, during this period, they said that they've decided to close their communal spaces so that face-to-face meetings and social gatherings would be discouraged.
Now, we also understand that some are going above and beyond what's required. Can you tell us more about that?
Yeah, so the minimum requirement now is to have half of your workers back in the office at any one time, right? But I think because of the advisory last week, a few firms have already started to tell the staff to work from home. So anyone who can telecommute would be working from home. So that would include firms like Sinoco Energy, a power generation firm, UOB, as well as Changi Airport Group. So Changi Airport Group had actually initially wanted to bring in more staff from this month, so they'll be back for 2 days a week, up from a day. But now they've been told to work from home where possible.
We're speaking with Yun Sin, journalist at The Straits Times. How do workers feel? Are there differing views, preferences?
Yeah, I think the biggest thing about this recent move is how sudden it was. Because I think for the last 9 months or so, we've kind of been going on a linear trajectory, right? So a gradual opening. The idea was that people can slowly get used to going back to the office after some time. But now they had to suddenly adapt to the measures. Mm-hmm. But I think people are flexible and they're adaptable. And I think at the end of the day, people are hoping to be able to be given, you know, choice and be able to choose whether they can be in the home or in the office if the COVID-19 situation remains stable. Because I think as long as the situation is unstable like this, people will have no choice, right? Because they'll have to just do whatever is required of them in order to reduce transmissions.
Definitely. And you know, Johnson, we've spoken a lot about businesses, employers, but the latest measures go beyond that. Perhaps you can talk us through some of the other measures which are kicking in.
Yeah, so effectively the measures announced on Tuesday will take us back to phase two. But I think some of the rules are a bit looser than what we had experienced in phase two. So indoor gyms and fitness studios, they will have to close till May 30th. And social gatherings will also be reduced to groups of up to five. So that will be down from 8. And also capacity limits for events like, you know, sports events, arts performances, and weddings, right? All this will have to be reduced unless they can put in place a pre-event testing. So you see people scrambling to, you know, make changes to plans for dinners, social gatherings. You have gyms telling their members to kind of put their memberships on hold for the moment. Yeah, and also I think the arts groups or the sports event organizers will have to reconfigure plans, including relooking seating arrangements or cancelling training or competition sessions.
And there's also Mother's Day this weekend, and we've got Hari Raya next week as well. So what can we expect will happen then?
Yeah, so I think based on what my colleagues have found out earlier this week, many people have tried to make changes to their Mother's Day's booking, right? So some are reducing dining party sizes, or they have asked to cancel their bookings altogether. And restaurants are also preparing for more takeaway and delivery orders because maybe people would prefer to be dining at home instead. And I think for Hari Raya, it would be difficult for you know, the community, because last year they were already subject to some restrictions. But this year, there would still be visits, I think, but there would be less people allowed, so up to five people, right? And also, mosques will also be scaling back on the number of worshippers allowed to attend congregational prayers. Yeah, so all the celebrations would have to be, you know, affected, but hopefully things would get better, you know, after a few weeks.
Thank you so much for all of those updates for us today.
Thank you. Thanks, Rachel. Thank you.
We've been speaking with Yun Sin, journalist at The Straits Times. This is Money FM 89.3.
To listen to more great interviews, download our podcasts at moneyfm893.sg or download our audio app. That's AWEDIO. Available on Google Play or the App Store.